Great to be with you all. God bless you. Today is Sunday, October the 25th, 2020. And if you would, please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Malachi, chapter 3. I taught some things this past Wednesday at Desert Winds Retirement and then also at the Phoenix Rescue Mission. And this morning, I'd like to share some of those things with you as well. This verse in Malachi is, I'm sure, perhaps familiar to you. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. I am the Lord, I change not. In my lifetime, and I'm sure in your lifetime as well, lots of things have changed in lots of different arenas. Think about the way we listen to music and how much that has changed. Now it's all up in the cloud somewhere. It used to be on discs and tapes and all that. Great changes in technology, and it continues to change. So many things have changed. And then in our culture, boy, in the last 10, 15 years, a lot of things have changed in the culture. You know, some things that maybe 10 or 15 years ago were totally unacceptable, for some people today, it's normal. So people change, cultures change, governments change, but here in Malachi it says, I am the Lord, I change not. God does not change. Who he is, what he will do, what he will not do, does not change. I am the Lord, I change not. And again, people change. We saw last week when we were looking at Acts 17, the folks in Thessalonica had a pretty dramatic change, didn't they? It says they turned from idols to serve the living and true God. That's quite a change, isn't it? From serving idols, false gods, they changed. And many times people change for the better. Sometimes not for the better. But people change, cultures change, governments change, God will not change. If you turn to the book of Numbers, chapter 23, probably familiar as well. Numbers chapter 23. And this verse 19 in Numbers 23. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? There are three things that we learn about God in this verse. God, first of all, is not a man that he should lie. God will never lie. A lie is an intentional falsehood. You know, if someone says, hey, would you come over next Tuesday, say like around 7:30? And you go, yeah, sure, I'll be there. And you have absolutely no intention of being there. You just say it. An intentional falsehood. Now, people do that, right? But God will never lie. God is not a man that he should lie. And then it says, neither the son of man that he should repent. Repent means to change your mind. So maybe you tell somebody, yeah, I'll be there Tuesday, 7:30? Sure, I'll be there. You're not lying. You have every intention of being there. But then Tuesday afternoon, you're like, oh, why did I say that? I don't think I'm going to do it. You change your mind. People do that, but God does not change his mind. And then it says, hath he said and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken and shall he not make it good? Those are, of course, rhetorical questions. What God said he will do, he will do. His willingness equals his ability. God will never say that he will do something that he can't do. You may tell someone you'll be there next Tuesday at 7:30 and you absolutely mean it. You're not lying. You don't change your mind, but something happens Tuesday afternoon. Maybe your car doesn't work. Maybe there's a family emergency. Maybe you get sick. You can't fulfill what you said you would do. That happens with people, but never, ever with God. God does not change his mind. God's willingness always equals his ability. Look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Well, we're going to bounce all over the Bible this morning. James chapter 1, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. No variableness with God. He doesn't vary. I have a leaf blower, variable speed. Can blow full blast, or if I'm by the little rocks, I don't want it full blast and blow the rocks all over the place. My wife has a variable speed blender, you know, different speeds. God is constant, no varying whatsoever. And then it says, no shadow of turning. This phrase, shadow of turning, in the Greek refers to heavenly bodies like the moon and the planets whose shadows change every night. Literally, it would be a shifting shadow. Reverend Cummins translates this, with whom there is no variation nor shifting shadow, like the moon. Boy, that is really something. God does not vary, and he's not a shifting shadow. You know, some of the words from this verse are in that song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Going to read. It says, great, this is from the song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt be. Some of the words to that song come from this verse. There's no shadow of turning with God. So, what do we know about God so far? God does not lie. God does not change his mind. God, what he promises to do, he will carry it out. There is no variation with God. He doesn't vary, and he's no shifting shadow either. So, you know what this means? This means that if God speaks to you, what he speaks to you is absolutely true. It's not a lie. You know, and people get freaked out. What, God talking to you? That's, you must be wacky. We're not wacky. All through the Bible, God talks to people one way or the other, doesn't he? And not just, you know, the heavies like Moses, but all through the Bible, God talks to people. And the point I'm trying to make is that whenever God speaks, it is absolutely true. Take a look at 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, another familiar verse. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy, the Scriptures, came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. They were moved by the Holy Spirit. God told them what to write. It didn't come by the will of man. Moses didn't sit down one day and go, wow, I don't really have much to do today, so I think I'll write something spiritual, something like religious or something. Let's see, let me get a pen and what should I write? God is great. No, that doesn't work. I got it. How about in the beginning God created? No. It didn't come. We just read that. What does it say? It didn't come by the will of man. It came, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So if the Bible was not written by the will of man, in other words, God told them what to write, when we read and rightly understand the Scriptures, we are reading the words of God. That's why we call it God's Word, right? It's like Jesus said in Matthew 22, have you not read what God spoke to you? We are reading the words of God when we rightly understand it. If you'd flip back a little bit to 2 Timothy chapter 3, another familiar verse, I'm sure. 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, all Scripture, how much? All of it. Genesis to Revelation, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And those five words, given by inspiration of God, In the Greek, it's one word, it's a compound word, theopneustos. All scripture, God breathed. Well, when you speak, you breathe. It's just another way of saying God spoke. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. All scripture, God breathed, and it's what? Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. How encouraging this is to us when we read the Bible. Because if we rightly understand what we're reading, then what we're reading is the absolute truth. Because God does not lie. And he's not going to change his mind either. For example, you know and I know the Bible, God's word, says that Jesus Christ is coming back one day. Right? Says that in a number of places. Christ is coming back. The return of Jesus Christ. Is that true? Well, yes, it's true. Why? Because God does not lie. Is God going to change his mind? Oh my gosh, these guys have messed up. I'm not sending him back. That's it. I changed my mind. No, Lord, no. He's not going to change his mind. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. He's not going to change his mind. Can he still pull it off? Absolutely. Absolutely. The Bible says you are saved by grace and not by works. Is that a lie or the truth? Well, it's the truth. We're saved by grace, not of works. That's a good thing if you think about it. Who could ever do enough good works to get saved? But the Bible says you're saved by grace, not by works. So if someone comes along and says, look, if you want to be saved, you have to do this, 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 and make sure you don't do that, 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 and do all that. You know what? They're calling my father a liar. Stop it. We're not saved by our works. It says that in the Bible, and that is true. It says in the Bible that for every person that's born again, every single born-again believer, it says that nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing you do or don't do can separate you from the love of God. Now, is that true? Yes. Is God going to change his mind? No. Going to look at you and go, oh my gosh, I've had it with you. No more love for me. Now, people may change their mind, right? But God's not. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. And so as you go through God's word, you can ask yourself that question every time you read something. Is this true? Yes. Why? Because God does not lie, and I, the Lord, change not. The Bible reveals to us many things about God's very nature, who he is, what he does. People like to guess and speculate, well, I think God does this. And that. Why don't you just read his words and find out, because God reveals himself in his word, you know, because God told them what to write, and God doesn't lie, and he doesn't change his mind, and what he said he would do, he will do, and he doesn't vary, and there's no shifting shadow there. So we can read God's word. The Bible says, among other things, that God is light, that God is powerful, that God heals, and many other things, but I'd like to just briefly look at those three this morning. Turn to 1 John chapter 1, if you would, please. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. And in verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God's very nature is light. His very nature is light. And since the Bible, rightly understood, is God's words, then God's words are light to us. And that's what it says in Psalm 119. A verse that's probably familiar to you. You've probably heard it before. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, 105. The word, God's word, is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto my path. Does that mean that when I go walking at night and it's dark, I bring my Bible and it'll glow and show me where to walk? You have a glowing Bible? I mean, even if you were using your phone, you know, or an app. Is that what that means? The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path? No. God is light. His words are light. His words enlighten our eyes. His words enlighten the eyes of our understanding. His words get us out of darkness and confusion. You know, the Bible says God's not the author of confusion. No, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. The Bible says that God's words open our eyes. His words show us the best path, the right path. His word illuminates for us. Look at Acts 26 for a second. In Acts 26, Paul was relating part of the commission that he received from Jesus Christ. Part of Acts 26:18, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light. We're in Acts 26:18. To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light. And from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them who are sanctified by faith that is in me. God is light. His words are light. People walk in darkness, confusion, deception, when they do not have a right understanding of the light of God's word. And that might explain a lot of things going on in our world today. People without a right understanding of the light of God's word easily end up in confusion, deception, darkness. When it comes to God's power, should be pretty obvious that God is very powerful, right? And there are a lot of verses that we could look at to see God's great power. Perhaps the one that would settle it all would be the very first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How much power and wisdom does it take to create everything? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, if you would. Hebrews chapter 4. God is powerful, therefore his words are powerful. In Hebrews chapter 4, it says, the word of God is quick, meaning alive, living. The word of God is alive and, what does it say? Powerful. The word of God is powerful because God is powerful. The word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. That's pretty good, huh? And it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth, is powerful, and his words are powerful. And it's believing his words that brings his power into manifestation in our lives. That's why the Bible is not a nice book with some interesting stories and some inspiring words. The Bible, rightly understood, is the Word of God. It is what the Creator told holy men to write. They are words that take us from darkness to light. They are words of power. And I'll tell you what else they are. There are words that heal. Go to Exodus chapter 15. The words of God, the Bible, when rightly understood, it's a living word, a powerful word. Like Jesus said in John chapter 6, Jesus Christ said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Life to us. Well, the latter part of Exodus chapter 15, another part of God's wonderful nature. I am the Lord that heals you. I am the Lord that heals you. God's very nature is to heal mentally, physically, spiritually. I am the Lord that heals you. God's very nature is to heal. Well, if God's nature is to heal, guess what? His words then are healing. God's nature is light. His words bring us light. God's word, God is powerful. His words are powerful. God's nature is to heal. Therefore, his words are healing. Take a look at Psalm 107. In Psalm 107, verse 20, look at this. He sent his what? Word. And did what? Healed them. And delivered them from their destructions. He sent his word and healed them. How few people really believe in the healing power of God's words. And you know something? There are many, many verses in the Bible about healing. And I want to tell you something. Every single verse in the Bible about healing, every single one of them is not just a verse. Every single one of them is the power of God to heal. Because God's nature is to heal, therefore his words are healing. God's powerful word, God's living word, God's word that lights our path, God's words that heal. Really exciting, isn't it? So, how do we see this come to pass in our lives? How do we tap into this light, this power, the healing from God that's in his word? Look at Hebrews chapter 4. How do we access these things that God has promised us? Hebrews chapter 4, if you would. I told you we're going to be all over the Bible this morning. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, it says, "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them." We got an us and a them in this verse. "Unto us was the gospel," the good news, the word of God preached, "as well as unto them. But the word preached didn't profit them." Why? "Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." I've said on a number of occasions, I think one of the most misunderstood words in the Bible is the word faith, at least in the King James. Because for a lot of people, it's vague. It's mysterious. Yeah, have a lot of faith. Boy, he has a lot of faith. He doesn't have much faith, does he? God, give me faith. Oh, what a man of faith. And what is faith? Well, you know, it's faith. The problem is the translators, and you probably know this, but the translators translated the same Greek word group. They translated the noun faith, the verb believe. They could have helped us out a whole lot if they would have stayed consistent. So let's look at this verse again. "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached didn't profit them, not being mixed with believing in them that heard it." We access the healing from God. We access the power of God. We access the light from God by believing his words. You don't need to turn there, but you remember Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Faith, believing comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, yes, of course. How in the world could we ever believe God's words if we never heard them? So yeah, that's step number one. We hear God's word. But notice here in Hebrews 4, they heard the word, right? unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. It's not just hearing the scriptures. It's not just opening the Bible and reading it. Well, there I read it. There's more to it. Not just hearing it. It has to be mixed with what? Believing. And if you go to 1 Thessalonians, we were in the book of Acts last week, remember? And we saw how these wonderful believers in Thessalonica, when Paul traveled there, and he was there three Sabbath days, reasoned with them out of the scriptures. Remember, we saw that. And then there was, as a result, these wonderful new believers in Thessalonica, they turned from idols to serve the living and true God. Well, look what they did. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. This is what Paul wrote to them. He said, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth." Look at this. "The word of God which effectually works also in you that believe." Is that true? Yes. How do I know it's true? Because God does not lie. "And holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." God told them what to write. Has that changed? No. How do I know that? "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent." The word of God believed still works effectually in whoever chooses to believe it. "Once we rightly understand what the scriptures say, then it's up to us to believe it, period, zero doubt." Now, I'm going to look at a couple of examples. Go to Matthew chapter 9, if you would, please. Matthew chapter 9. I think we would all agree that Jesus Christ operated the power of God like no one ever had, right? Miracle after miracle, deliverance. Yet, he consistently challenged people to believe. To believe. And then receive. In Matthew chapter 9, "And when Jesus departed thence," verse 27, I'm sorry, Matthew 9, 27. "And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying, saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him," that kept following him. "And then Jesus said to him," look at what he asked him, "Do you believe I can do this? Do you believe? Do you believe?" And they said, "Yes, Lord, we do." "Then touched he their eyes, saying," look at this, "according to your faith," according to your believing, "be it unto you." Isn't that wonderful? If you look at Mark, Gospel of Mark now, chapter 9, we're not going to read the whole record, but this is the record of that man who had a boy that was in some very serious spiritual problems, right? And so we'll pick up the record in Mark chapter 9, verse 21. If you look at verse 20, the kid is on the ground wallowing and foaming. Not a very pleasant sight. Pretty tough situation. And so Jesus said, "Gee, how long has this been going on?" "How long is it ago since this came unto him?" And the father said, "Since he was a child. Oftimes it," this child had a spirit, "oftimes it cast him in the fire and into the waters to destroy him." But look what the man said to Jesus. "But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Wow. I can understand this father's frustration. I mean, I can understand. I can try to understand it. I actually can't fathom being in a situation like this with my child being tormented by spirits like this. I mean, I can't imagine it. So I can definitely see where this dad would have a lot of frustration. But he said to Jesus Christ, he said, "If you can do anything." Oh my gosh, you're talking to the Lord Jesus Christ. What do you mean if you can do anything? He raises the dead. I think so. "If you can do anything, have compassion on us." Do you think the Lord Jesus Christ had compassion? Yes. If you can do anything, have compassion and help us. Jesus Christ went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Of course he helped people. And look what Jesus Christ said back to him after he asked him that. Jesus said unto him, Sir, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Jesus didn't say, well, of course I can do things. Haven't you heard about all my miracles? Compassion? Of course I have compassion. This is so terrible. I feel horrible for you, sir. Oh my gosh, how are you putting up with this? Yes, I will help you because I'm the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course. He didn't. This poor frustrated dad said, look, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus Christ said, sir, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And you know, for you and me, that's where we're at sometimes, isn't it? I believe, but God, help me to get over my unbelief. Help me, God, to get rid of my doubts, my worries. Help me get to the point where there's zero doubt, and thus saith the Lord, that's it, that's it. I believe it. Getting to that point. All things are possible to him who believes. You know why that's still true? Because God does not change and his word does not change. It is still true today because God is not a man that he should lie. God's word is still light. God's word is still power. God's word still heals for those who dare to believe it. You know, the same thing is true in Mark chapter 5. That's where the woman touched the hem of his garment. And what did Jesus Christ say to her? He said, daughter, your faith, your believing has made you whole. Go and be in peace and be whole of that plague. Same thing with Bartimaeus. He was blind. He got healed. And Jesus Christ said to him, your believing has made you whole. And you know what's interesting? In Jesus Christ's hometown, Nazareth, yeah, the Bible says he could not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Jesus Christ didn't have less power. He still had the power of God in him by way of Holy Spirit. He operated God's power like no one had ever done before. And yet in his hometown, very little. You know why? That's Joe's kid over there. What's that? What is he? He's doing a teaching? Come on, we saw him grow up. That's Mary's kid, Jesus. What's he doing? What, does he think he's a rabbi now or what? Come on, we know his whole family. Oh, nice. Their loss. He could not do many mighty works there in his hometown of Nazareth because of their unbelief. So the Bible reveals to us many great attributes about God. God, the Bible says, is all wise, right? Well, therefore, if God is all wise, his word imparts wisdom to us. Paul told Timothy, from a child you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Rightly understanding the scriptures gives us wisdom in so many different areas of life. And not only that, but his words tell us how to gain more wisdom. Look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, verse 5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, I've never been at that point of view. If any of you lack wisdom, yes, on a daily basis. If any of you lack wisdom, what should you do? Let him ask of God. And look what it says. God gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Is that true? Yes. Why? Because God does not lie. God going to change his mind? I'm all done with the wisdom thing. You know, that just didn't work out. I've changed my mind. No, God doesn't change his mind. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. But, look at the next verse. Look at verse 6. But, let him ask in believing. Nothing wavering. For he that wavers like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed, for let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Believing happens in the brain, in our minds. And see, that's the great challenge for us, to get to the point of zero doubt. Absolutely. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. God is all wise. And therefore, his words impart wisdom to us. God is faithful. Therefore, his word is faithful. God is love. His words impart love to us. God is a God of all comfort. Therefore, his words bring us great comfort. God is a God of healing. His words heal. God is a God of power. His words are powerful. God is light. His words light our path and enlighten our understanding. And for us to profit and to benefit from his words, it's up to us to read it, rightly understand it, and then believe it. We already read in Hebrews chapter 4, unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with believing in them that heard it. And the opposite to that was what we read in Thessalonians. Those believers, not as the words of men, they didn't go out. Who's this new traveler that dropped into town? That's nice. No, they didn't receive it as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually works also in you that believe. The word of God that Paul spoke to them profited them greatly. It worked effectually in them because they believed it. And there are many other records in God's word that we could take a look at that show people back then profiting greatly from believing God's word, right? But what about today? What about now for you and for me? Today, God is the same. I am the Lord. I change not. God is no shifting shadow. He does not vary. He's still able and willing. He will not change his mind. He does not lie. His word is true. People change. Cultures change. Governments change. But God does not change. I am the Lord. I change not. I'd like to just read four more verses to you. Go to Psalm 33, if you would, please. Psalm 33. Psalm 33, verse 11. The counsel of the Lord stands how long? Forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. I am the Lord, I change not. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Look at Psalm 102. Psalm 102, verse 27. But you are the same, and your years shall have no end forever and ever and ever. I am the Lord, I change not. Psalm 119, lots in Psalm 119 about God's word, but look at this one in verse 89. Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, that's forever. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. No varying, no shifting shadow, no changing his mind. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. And we'll close with Isaiah 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 8. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. I am the Lord, I change not. Shall we pray? Almighty God, our great, wonderful Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for your word that you gave us, so we need not guess about you, that we could know who you are, what you do. Father, how encouraging it is to us that your word is still true and that you and your word have not changed. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son, our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might have salvation and redemption and look forward to that great day when he comes back, because you said he is. And until then, Father God, help us. Help us, Father, to believe your word and receive your great promises. Help us, Father, to help others to see your wonderful words. Father, I'm just so grateful for the privilege to share your word with your people this morning. And I just ask you to bless each person on this phone hookup. God, give them the desires of their heart. And those that would listen to the recording later, I pray, Father, you would bless them as well. Thank you for your goodness, your kindness, and your love. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Well, thank you for being here this morning. I'm going to post this teaching on the blog in just a little while. And I plan on adding that calendar of events today or tomorrow. We will be back here again next week, unless, of course, the Lord returns, which I hope would be far better, don't you think? I know one thing, we're a day closer. So until then, let's all continue to make time to read and study God's Word, make time to keep praying much for our country, and keep looking for open doors to speak God's wonderful Word, and keep loving people. Have a great week ahead. God bless you. I love you. You are God's best.